to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth here in exquisite Hotel Candelaria, stove crew number three, numero tres. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with the birthday girl, their crew leader, Christina.
Hi, I'm Christina Nice, and I'm from San Jose, California.
I'm Jackson Coleman, and I'm from Washington, Illinois.
I'm Julie Kaiser, and I'm from Washington, Illinois.
I'm Fabio Dibin from Sunnyvale, California.
I'm Natalia Dim, and I'm from Sunnyvale, California.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast booth. We have one veteran and a bunch of newbies. I love it when we have newbies because I've been here a long time, Natalia. I have listened and seen everything I think there is to see and hear about Guatemala. But then when I talk to people like you for the first time, I get to see things in a different way. I get to hear stories that I never would have heard because I'm not hanging out with you guys all day long. So tell me, what did you do today?
I made stoves, and I went to the VBS, and I did crafts with Guatemalan kids who need help, like when they're really poor.
Yeah.
And they need help.
Now, Natalia, do you speak a little Spanish?
A bit. And I'll speak Portuguese and English.
Yeah, so were you talking to some of the kids at VBS then?
Kind of, like a few words.
A few words. Tell me what the VBS experience was like for you today.
Good.
Have you ever done a VBS like that?
No.
No. What were some of the highlights for you? What are some of the things that you remember?
Well, I remember doing, like, helping the children with the crafts and, like, passing out the things and, making it with them and... They were just following me in the steps.
What was the funnest part? What was the most fun today at VBS?
Making a craft.
What was the craft about?
It was about gossiping. It was like some owls. They were just like made owls.
Yeah, they were talking about the Bible verses talking about gossip, right? You know, birds are constantly... talking to each other and chattering, and that the words that come out of our mouth are really important. They should be good words, not bad words, right? So, Fabi, this is your first time.
My first time.
As well. And you speak fluent Spanish and Portuguese and English. This culture is, I assume, different from other cultures you've been in. How would you describe it to someone who is from the States, for example?
Well, it's very friendly people, wonderful culture. I feel safe all the time. And they need love. They always ask for attention. They want to love. I love to hug. I love kisses, too. That's part of my culture, too. So I feel very happy to be here. And I do recommend to come to Guatemala, because we are coming next year.
Are you?
We are coming back next year, right, Natalia?
That's fantastic. Natalia, how old are you?
Nine.
So I talk to a lot of parents who are interested in coming, but they tell me I could never bring my child. They're too young, and they're older than Natalia. You've been here for a few days. You said that it feels really safe. What would you say to parents who are nervous about the safety? This is a developing country, and parts of it are obviously very dangerous. How would you... what would you say to parents who are concerned about safety?
I would be in a group, because I think it's worth it. I think it's nothing in danger. You guys are very organized. I feel safe being with everybody. I feel safe with the culture. And I think it's a wonderful experience that every single parent. Just think about it. And I'm very, very happy to be here. And it's a huge add in our lives.
Yeah.
For the rest of our lives, I think. We're always going to remember Guatemala for the first time.
Julie, you came here 10 years ago, is that right?
I think.
10 or 11 years ago. And I remember one of the things that you said when you were here is, I want to share this with my kids. Like, I really want to bring my kids here. And then another year went by and another year went by, and we all get busy and things happen. And but now you're here with your kid, who's huge. By the way, I haven't seen Jackson in so long. And now he's almost as tall as I am. Tell me about that process for you, you know, that desire to bring one of your children here, and how that came about that Jackson was able to come with you.
I think he told me that he wanted to come. And I think that we wouldn't have come if he didn't tell me that he wanted to come. Because, I mean, of course I asked him. You had asked me if we were ready to come back, but I think if he hadn't told me he wanted to come, we wouldn't have. For me, with boys, it's a little bit different, because for him to get something out of it, I think he had to have a desire to come here. My other children are 2 years younger and 2 years younger, and I hope that they want to come at some point, but I do believe that he needed to want to come. If I brought my 14-year-old and my 12-year-old right now, would they get as much out of it as he is? Maybe, but I think he's at the point in his life where this is really going to make a difference for him. So I'm glad that we're here. I'm getting to know him on a level that, I mean, I know him really well, of course, because I've been with him for 16 years, but but I'm getting to know him on a level without the distraction of phones, etc., right? That we have in the U.S. I'm getting to know him on a different level, which is great. I mean, I will encourage his dad to take a trip with him alone somewhere where he can be a little disconnected and really get to know him. He's a very, very special kid, and he has already made a difference in some of these kids' lives. I mean, today he got some special attention from some girls. They came up and said, can we take a photo? Or we thought they said, can you take a photo? He was like, sure. Like, he thought they wanted him to take their photo. And soon they were standing next to him. And I was like, oh, I should move away. they don't want my photo. They want his photo. I'm sure he's like the American. He is the American guy, right? He's blonde hair, blue eyes. He's the American gringo, or whatever you would call that. So they wanted his picture, and he took their picture with them. So that's an interesting angle that I wouldn't have thought of. But he's already getting some stuff out of this that I wouldn't have thought that he would get out of it. So,
Jackson, why did you want to come? Number one, and number two, you'd heard about this from your mom, and you'd seen pictures. What's similar to what she shared with you, and what surprised you? What's different?
Well, I wanted to come here because I really like helping people and making people like feel loved and stuff, and also because I wanted to like better my personal connection with God. And like be closer with him. And then my mom, I can't really remember what she would tell me about it, but what surprised me was that the rooms, like their kitchens, it's like their whole house and stuff. So I'm just, and compared to the US's like houses and stuff, our kitchen is like their whole room, and their kitchen is like our bathroom or something like that.
Really small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really small. How would you describe, other than the size, how would you describe the homes that you've been in, or the rooms that you've been in that make up their homes?
Well, yesterday when we were working on our one stove, I was kind of like leaning on this tree post, and I would like look up, and it'd be like holding up the whole roof, so I knew that if I like pushed it a little bit, like the whole roof would come down. So I decided to scoot away from that and not lean on it so much. And then most of their roofs are like tied to the side with twine and stuff, or a shoelace.
Right.
And the house today had like didn't really have much of like their sidings and stuff. It wasn't high enough to reach the roof, so we had to have like a curtain to cover part of that opening. So I figured if it rained, his whole house would get wet and stuff, his whole kitchen. And then the second house we were at, his was, they don't really have doors there, and he just had a ton of curtains to, like, keep privacy in some of the rooms. And that would be hard to do because, I don't know, I don't really know what I'm thinking here.
No privacy.
Yeah, very privacy. Very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, very different. How do you think your friends back home would be able to live in these environments?
I don't think they could do it. Well, yeah, they couldn't do it because one of my friends, he's like crazy and stuff. Not like crazy, crazy, but like wild, and he's so fun. But I feel like he would get too bored without like the TV and the phones and stuff, that he would actually go crazy.
He's so plugged in, right? He's like so connected to, yeah. And there is some connection here. You know, it's odd. I don't know if you've seen some of the moms walking around with a cell phone, and some people think, well, how come they can't feed their kids if they have a cell phone? But did you think that in Italian? Yeah, so the thing is that the cell phones here are really cheap. Like, they're super expensive. And just because you have a phone doesn't mean you can make a phone call, because you actually have to put money on the phone to make a call. So a lot of people will have a cell phone. And the way that cell phones work here is it costs you, if you call from your phone, like if you called your mom on your phone, then it would cost you money. But if your mom called you, it's free. So a lot of people will have a cell phone for months and months. They'll never make a phone call. They'll just wait for someone to call them, and then they can talk, you know, for free, and until they get some more money, they can put, you know, money on their phone. A cell phone here costs about $16 US, 1/6. Now, that's not an iPhone, but it is a phone. And so it's very inexpensive. Most people do have a phone, but they might not be able to make a phone call with it. Yeah. So Christina, happy birthday.
Thank you.
This is your birthday. How many birthdays have you had here in Guatemala?
Something like, I don't know, maybe 12. I've been here 13 years, but the first few years we may have come a little bit later in the summer. But I remember some, like, young birthdays I had here, too.
So what do you say to people who say, how can you spend your birthday working out and, you know, dusty, dirty, making these stoves and VBS, you're getting all dirty and sweaty and playing games. And, well, you're taking a lot of photos today, but, you know, it's work. I mean, there's a lot of work. How would you, or do you, respond to that to your friends?
I mean, I've done it for so long. I also think that our family in particular, doesn't necessarily put a huge emphasis on a birthday. I think that maybe plays into it a little. So, and I don't know, I'm always, you know, I'm happy to be here. If it was stay home and have a birthday party or come to Guatemala, it would always be come to Guatemala. It's just so worthwhile to me. And I love being here, and I love being with these people, and, you know, I feel just as celebrated here as I would at home, probably more. I've had a lot of really, really great birthdays here. Yeah, and I don't know, that is the entire essence of what we're doing here. It's just a little bit of sacrifice to help someone else, and, you know, it's just a little bit of time. And, yeah, if the tables were turned and I was them, I'd hope that, you know, that there would be someone who came and helped me. So,
how blessed are you guys to have this as a career leader, huh?
Wonderful.
Christina?
We had a tough day. We had some tough stoves to put together, but we did it.
Yes.
Everyone had patience, and I was so thankful for that. So
tell me what was tough. What was tough today? About today?
Anyone else want to help? The height of the ceiling to connect to the...
Yeah.
The end of the project, you know, was very high.
Super tall ceiling. which is
rare.
Thank
you, Jackson, and the body, you know, because they're very tall.
Height works. So we spent at least an hour today just leveling a dirt floor.
Wow.
Yes. This dirt was packed, and we took, thankfully, the man of the house was there, and he gave us every tool he had. So we had hammers, and we had palas, and we had shovels, and we just chopped the whole thing up. And, I mean, the room was dark, dark, dark. There was no light, and so we're breaking up ground, and we don't know how, you know, we don't know how level it is, and these blocks we're working with aren't perfect, and so they're wobbling, and you're just every single one. You get one down, you're like, I think it's good. Then you put your hand on it, and you're like, ah, nope, it's still rocking. So
for those who don't know how this works, there's 12 concrete blocks that it kind of goes together like a puzzle, right? You lay them a certain way, and then they're really stable, and then you can put these prefabricated concrete pieces together, which forms the stove. And so, but the first thing you have to do is make sure it's level, because you have about 400 pounds of weight that are sitting on those concrete blocks. So if they're off, I mean, someone could really get hurt. Children could, you know, get crushed. I mean, if this thing tipped over on them. So it's really important. But typically, it's not that hard. I mean, typically, the floor is fairly level. And so you had a perfect storm. You had a super high ceiling and a floor that was really hard. Oh, two different houses.
They were two different houses.
Okay.
So we had the floor issue at the first one, but a really short hole to cut. We did it standing. And then the second house was where we had a concrete floor, which we still had to level a little bit because, you know,
because of the blocks.
They pour concrete by hand and it's a little rocky, and so you still have to level it a little bit. And then we have the very high ceiling on that one.
And when we say cutting the hole, it's cutting the hole to put the chimney in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
seal that so the smoke goes outside of the outside
and
of the
house. And then it started raining.
It did, just
during
as we were
about to
put the whole, we're like,
we gotta go now. So then we were
now
like,
10 seconds.
You need to get on the roof to put
the
hat on.
Well, it only rained for 10 seconds.
Just so
it was enough to panic you.
Yeah, it was the perfect time. We were like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
We had the different stove pipe like sizes. So we had the small one and the large one, and had to make that work. And
yeah, that's a new one. I don't ever remember that happening.
The snowman was too big.
Oh, we did have
first
that with
house,
the first house.
Right?
Snowman?
The plancha.
That's what she called it. Well, she told him how to put it in. What'd you call it?
Stovetop.
The stovetop.
Stovetop.
How to put it in like a snowman. So the big burner.
Oh, the three burners. I get it. So the fat burner is the bottom of the snowman, middle burner, top burner is really tiny.
Yes.
Right?
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. You came up with that, Christina?
Yeah. I don't know if I came up with it, but we've been using it for a while.
That's hilarious. I've never heard that before.
It's good to memorize the way you do it. Because from now on, we know exactly the way you should put it.
Yeah, because people assume that you would put the smaller burners in front, but the fire is actually larger in front, so you'd rather have the larger pot up there.
Right.
And the smaller ones on the back.
So we didn't make hot dogs with anybody today.
We did not have time.
No, because we didn't have time.
It was two older men.
Right.
And they were very, very in need. We were in Buena Vista, mm-hmm. so we were kind of up on these hills, and we just got to be with them. They were very, very sweet and
very
appreciate
you. Patient and helped us, and it was great.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful.
Sounds like you had to improvise. Like a bunch of missionaries. The missionaries that you are. I called them all missionaries on the first day. Did you freak out when I called you a missionary, Natalia? No.
No.
No. It's exactly what you expected. Natalia, how did you get here? How did you convince your mom to come here?
At school I usually watch slideshows of Mr. Nice and Miss Nice. They usually show us slideshows of Guatemala, and then I really wanted to come, so then I asked my mom, and she told me I could, so then we just came.
Was that, wow. Mom, is that right? Like, she just said, hey, can we go, and you said, okay, you won't come? No.
Yes.
Shaking her head, no.
That was kind of my dream come true, too. I always want to do that. Always want to do that. Always want to go to the country and be able to help the people in the country. I was taught about India, I was taught about Africa, some different places. When the Guatemala come up, you know, I said, that's where we're going to go. My dream is going to go through. And honest, we just came from vacation. And for me, this is the best vacation ever. Not vacation, but that, you know, go away, not have to work and be with her, and the kind of job we're doing here, this be amazing, amazing experience.
Praise God.
Yes.
And you've been able to use your language skills here that
I love it.
Probably wouldn't be able to in Africa or other places.
Exactly, and I love Spanish, and I don't know, I have such a high connection with the helping people, like Jackson was mentioning, you know, I feel like I need to help people. So, I mean, helping for a full week. So I'm so happy that, you know, more hours, not like a few minutes, you know, we help them every single second. You know, build the stove, talk to them, hug them, you know, everything.
Pray with them.
Pray with them. It's wonderful. The energy, you can feel the good energy. Like today we see all the kids, Natalia was so happy to be around them. One little girl was following her, remember? And she was hugging her and playing with her. She said, I don't understand, but, you know, she's so cute. She tried to use her language back to her badge, right? The translation.
Oh, yeah, we have some Spanish phrases on
that's
the back
very
of
good,
our,
yes, for people who don't speak any.
So you tried to use some of those with her? Yeah.
Yeah, she can understand. Right, Natalia? Yeah. It's been a wonderful experience, yeah.
We're so glad that you came. And I'm so glad that you asked your mom. Because, you know, there's a lot of, well, both of you. I mean, there's a lot of parents that come because their kids have requested it and have been able to share this experience together with their family, which is what we try to do. We try, you know, Christine's come with her family for years and years, and now you have this connection and you'll be able to share these memories. Sometimes people come alone and they go back and it's really hard to describe, like, what happened. Julie's nodding her head. She did this before. It's difficult if you don't have, you know, someone to share that with, so... I'm really glad that you could all come together with your families. I know that many of you, maybe all of you, have had people who made it possible for you to come, who maybe helped you financially with fundraising, or maybe they gave you some donations, or maybe they prayed for you. And I was just wondering if you had any words for any of those people who might be listening to this podcast, any final thoughts for your supporters or friends, family. Might be listening.
Yeah, I want to say thank you very much for all my friends. Because they sent a huge email about, a long time ago, and now they finalized the trip, you know. And they sent a email for about 35 friends. And it was almost every day I have a bag of clothes in my house. Or give me money to buy new clothes. And I really want to say thank you to you. And mention about the donation, you know, a couple years ago, I made my son's birthday party, only donations from Guatemala. Because I was waiting to her get a little bit older to come to Guatemala. I always thought about Guatemala.
Really?
Yes. So we made like invitation. The captain, Marcelo Deep, was going to Guatemala. Please help him to pack his bag. So we had a birthday party, and everybody brought like clothes. And I donate. But that was years ago. But now this time, people donate, and we brought the clothes. So we're very happy, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So I always thought about this trip. So I'm very happy to be here.
God.
It's been very worth it every single second. And if you connect to the dog, with the God, like he was saying, you know, it's something like you're doing like every day, every second. It's something like it's a huge connection. So just want to say thank you for all my friends who help.
Natalia, anyone you'd like to thank back home?
My dad.
Your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead.
Well, because he, like, he helps us, like, he's the one who paid for this trip and for all the things, so I just want to thank him for that.
Very generous to pay for the trip. That's really, must have a great dad. She's smiling, Dad. Anyone else? Final thoughts? Friends? Supporters?
Yeah, I would also say thank you very much, and I hope that people realize, I don't remember until I get here how much difference those donations make. This morning when we arrived over to the center to see the line of people lined up to get, you know, their outfit and their shoes. So everybody gets to pick out, this is what I understand, everybody gets to pick out an outfit, right,
yep.
with shoes.
Yep.
Underwear, new underwear,
new
socks.
Underwear and socks and shoes
yeah.
go
and
to
shoes
everybody.
To yep. go to everybody. So all the flip flops that we brought here, that everybody donated and dropped off at the house and stuff. You know, everybody. We got to see that happen today. We weren't there during the day when they were having their donations, but when we pulled up, there was a line, and I expect there'll be a line tomorrow.
Yep.
And the next day, and the next day. And so I just want everybody to realize that that really happens. It's not like that's a mystery. You know, it's not like that stuff, we just take it and put it in our closets and wear it later. I mean, that really, we brought it here and we took it and it gets sorted by lovely ladies here. And it gets, it's like a store for them. And they look forward to it. These families, I'm sure, they look forward to it. And it gets handed out, and it's just a great service to these families. So that's beyond all the money that people donated for us to come here. That part of it is just so awesome to see. And I always forget when I sign up for what I want to do, some year I'm going to do the donations, because I always forget that that's such a fun, I mean, it's hard work for the ladies who sign up to do that. But it's just such a joy to see people just, I mean, they are lined up like it's going to be, you know, it's that shopping thing that we line up for, you know, that special that we line up for, whatever, back in the United States. This is what they're looking forward to get that outfit or get that pair of shoes that they've wanted or whatever. So,
and you're going to notice later in the week during VBS, they will be wearing those clothes.
Right, exactly.
And not like, okay, so you know how somebody gives you a gift and then, you know, you don't use it until they come over to visit and you put it out. You know?
Right.
It's not like that. It's,
right.
like,
it's like
they
excited
are really
right
excited, so proud to have them.
Right.
And in many cases, they need them.
Right.
We just had a podcast with the donations crew, and they were saying, you know, this girl came in with these Crocs that were like 5 years old and two sizes too small,
right.
you know, and you know, they leave those in the donation room. They walk out with their new shoes. They don't,
right.
they don't need those anymore. So
yeah, they fit them to that stuff when they're in there. And I think I did work a little bit with them one time, one of the 2 years that I was here before, but it's just, it's really, I mean, it's real. People sometimes think when they donate to things, I think that it doesn't go to 100% to a cause, and this stuff does. I mean, some of it funded our trip, but these donations and all that stuff really goes to these people that need it. And that's just, I'm so thankful that when people donated, you know, the matchbox cars, the toys, all that stuff, it really goes for what we're doing here. And that's really what I'm so thankful for, that people did.
Amen.
So. Yeah.
Jackson, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just like to thank all my friends and family that helped make this amazing experience for me a possibility. Because without them donating all those flip-flops and clothes, I wouldn't be able to go on this. And money, I wouldn't be able to have this amazing experience.
Amen.
Got me? Special thanks to my family and church this year, because I am a college student in Seattle, and I am now an upperclassman, which means a lot of my life is looking forward into what I need to be doing for my future career. And towards the end of the spring season, I was looking into being in Seattle for the summer and working, and I had to wait on hearing back from some jobs, and literally until the last minute. And I felt terrible. I didn't think that I should even come to Guatemala, because it was just too late. And it happened anyways. And yeah, and so thankful that that was a possibility and that everything got taken care of so quickly.
and that my parents just do that for me. So I really appreciate it.
And we really appreciate it. We were so nervous. I got this short text from Stuart, her dad. Christina's out. This was like, well, 4 weeks before the mission or something. We're like, no! Because she's an outstanding crew leader for 2 weeks. We had her, you know, all scheduled and stuff. We're like, oh, no, no Christina. Ah. And then, I don't know, a couple weeks later, Christina's in. We're like, yes, thank you. There's a God who answers prayers.
Yeah.
So, we're grateful too. And we're grateful for every one of you and all of those who are listening, who sent donations, who sent these team members sitting around this table. We could not do this without them. We would not want to do this without them because they are able to do so much more than what Dom Reese and I can do on our own. They love with such enormous hearts. And sincerely, we are very, very grateful to each and every one of you.
Thank you.
So on behalf of all the kids at VBS and all the kids in those lovely homes that you're visiting and the moms and the volunteers and Senor Lillian, the director of Corazón de los Niños and all the volunteers there, on behalf of Dom Reese and myself, thank you for your service to our Lord and to His children. And thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga. May God bless you. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.